Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And that is me, Karen Cataline. Thank you for joining us here on Spouting Off. It's Tuesday, September 25th, and news is happening everywhere. I have a guest in our second half hour. I'm going to tell you about him right now so we can get to the news. And my turn to spout off. We have Michael Dougherty, who is an expert on FBI deep state analysis. And in about the half hour mark, we're going to talk to Michael about all things Mueller investigation, deep state, and his wonderful book called The Devil Inside the Beltway. How about that for being relevant? So stay tuned for Michael Dougherty. And lately it has been Brett Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh, Kavanaugh all the time. And I am engrossed in this story. I've been writing about it nonstop for the last week to 10 days, doing a lot of guest talk show hosting guesting on other talk show hosts, all about the so-called Me Too movement and the Kavanaugh debacle, and that's what I would call it. But that story, which I'm definitely going to get to because I have some thoughts, is overshadowing a lot of really important things going on. So I want to at least mention these because they're important. Donald Trump made a superb speech at the UN today. And my apologies, I could not get the sound bites in time, but he unabashedly spoke against globalism and against socialism. George Soros must be very, very unhappy because that is what George Soros wants. All socialists want everyone else to be poor and without freedom so that they can dictate the terms. And they usually couch it in language that doesn't sound anything like what it is. So Donald Trump, for those of you who think that he's not an ideologue, well, he's enough of one to know the difference between socialism and freedom. And those are the differences. So to go to the UN and speak on behalf of sovereignty of the United States and other countries around the world, of fair trade deals and against socialism is a wonderful thing. That's why we sent him to Washington. And that's one of the biggest reasons why he's getting the kind of grief and aggravation that he's getting. Because if he weren't a threat, nobody would be trying to get rid of him. It is stunning. Never in my lifetime have I seen such vitriol against a president and certainly against his Supreme Court nominee, which we will get to. So among the other things going on this Tuesday, September 25th, is Bill Cosby was sentenced to 3 to 10 in prison. Now, it drives me crazy when the media and other outlets want to call this the first sentencing and the first prison sentence in the Me Too era. Well, that's a really loose way to put it. To them, everything is anything that has to do with a man and a crime is the Me Too era. Number one, the entire Bill Cosby story broke long before the Me Too movement. And we're not talking about sexual harassment here. We're talking about serial rape. We're talking about a person who was beloved in the country 20, 30 years ago. Everybody loved Bill Cosby. Nobody said that, oh, we love him even if he's black. No, America loved Bill Cosby. And he even characterized himself as some sort of a father figure to the world and giving advice on parenting. Oh my, he was just full of noble advice. And now we come to find out he is a serial rapist who drugged his victims, more than 60 of them. This is not a Me Too case. The Me Too story, the Me Too bandwagon has been a leftist agenda. People say, oh, you know, they've weaponized the Me Too movement. No, the Me Too movement was a leftist apparition all along. It happened right after Donald Trump. It has been used, and I know I'm a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it. I have written at length for Western Journal and other publications to talk about the way the Me Too movement has been used as a weapon to oust men from their posts, from duly elected posts. If they are guilty, let the women who accuse them go under oath, and let's have due process, which, by the way, is not being afforded Brett Kavanaugh before Democrats and others say he's guilty. Ah, but I have jumped ahead. So on the case of Bill Cosby, one of the lessons, I think, is that what you see and read and the packaged pablum that we get out of Hollywood are lies, all lies. And not excluding the politics and the perpetual outrage of Hollywood. They have to clean up their own house. And believe me, their own house is a cesspool. So, you know, what people try to package you and tell you what is real and what is not, question it all. Bill Cosby's going to prison for 3 to 10. My guess is because he's 81 or 82 years old, they'll probably let him out with good behavior in 3 or less. And that's sad because, as far as I'm concerned, a serial rapist who has enjoyed such goodwill from the United States of America and been perpetrating a lie on all of us, he deserves to die in prison. And you can quote me on that. Who knows if that'll happen? He is convicted. He is a convicted rapist. That's a heck of a lot different than what we're looking at with Kavanaugh. And I haven't made full decisions on Kavanaugh either, with the exception of the lack of due process thus far. But before I get to that, let me talk for a moment about one of the stories that the Kavanaugh story has pushed off the front page. Actually, this story was never going to get to the front page. This story the media was going to stay away from for all it was worth, and they have done so, just the same as the fact that the FBI gave phony information to get a phony FISA warrant to spy on Donald Trump. You're not going to see that reported in the mainstream media either. And we'll have to call it not the mainstream media, but the legacy media, or the used to be mainstream media, but it ain't the mainstream media anymore. And they've doubled down on their bias and on their agenda. It's really like I imagine Pravda probably was, just a constantly biased, hate-filled machine. But the story, what is the story I'm thinking about? What's that story that got bumped off the never was going to be on the front page? Well, it is the spectacular work done by James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. Far as I can tell, he has now put out three videos. I don't know how he does what he does. It is astounding how he does what he does. But he does work that decades ago, 60 Minutes was applauded for. 60 Minutes was always the perfect kind of gotcha interview, or they would plant someone. Actually, 60 Minutes was more, of a 60 Minutes was more of a running around and chasing people with a microphone. But this is a planting of their operatives in order to get people to say what they really believe and what they're really doing. And I'm glad that I don't know how James O'Keefe and his team does it, because I don't want it to go public. I think it is perfectly legitimate. And so here's what James O'Keefe and Project Veritas has uncovered, that there are people in the Justice Department, in the State Department, who are card-carrying members of Democratic Socialists of America. And they are getting paid on the taxpayer dime to do work to actively undermine this country. If you do not think that the ideas, the agenda, and the entire operation of the Democratic Socialists of America is to undermine America, undermine the Constitution, and undermine everything this country stands for, then you ain't watching. Okay? So we've got people. I looked up the definition of treason. I looked up the definition of sedition. And because it has been thought to be arcane, nobody really uses it anymore. But if you are working actively to overthrow the current regime, to overthrow the current government, in order to replace it with something that is virtually the exact opposite of everything this country stands for, you can see I have a theme, because Donald Trump spoke against socialism at the UN today. So if you have an entity like that, and if you have members, this is the kind of thing Joseph McCarthy warned us about. And then Joseph McCarthy has been the cause celeb of celebs for decades, meaning, oh, us poor victims, we were victimized by the McCarthy era. And they did have some outrageous tactics, don't get me wrong. But McCarthy was deadly worried about socialists infiltrating our government, lying about who they were, and working to undermine freedom and the Constitution. And voila, September of 2018, we have James O'Keefe and Project Veritas uncovering that exact thing. I don't know if you call it treason. I don't know what you call it. I ain't a lawyer. But oh my God, this should be on the front page of any of all fair newspapers, which is the reason it's not, because there are no fair newspapers really anymore. They all seem to march in lockstep, and they wanted to prove how independent they were by marching in lockstep about a month ago. All right. So, bravo to James O'Keefe. I strongly encourage you to go to Project Veritas and watch these videos. I don't work for him. I don't have anything to do with him. But oh my goodness, we must pay attention to what he has uncovered here. And that's why the media refuses. Now, last I read, at least one of these people who were exposed has been fired. The very first video featured somebody, I'm not even going to use his name, who said he couldn't be fired because he's a public servant, a civil servant, and he can't be fired. But he has embarrassed the State Department. And so at least one of them has been fired, and we're going to see whether more comes of this. It is unfortunate. It's so unfortunate that conservatives have to work 100 times harder than anybody else simply because of the level of corruption in the media. I ought to do a whole show about it, and we can't talk about it enough, because this is one of the most supreme abuses of power, to see a media that is basically an arm of the Democrat Party. Or to hear Rush Limbaugh put it, the Democrat Party is an arm of the media. That's how powerful they are. And the left depends on the ignorance of the public, of certain segments of the public. The media depends on people simply looking at headlines. And if they are jumping up and down enough and their hair is on fire enough, then uninformed people will say, well, there must be something here, or the media wouldn't be talking about it so much. So this is a serious problem. And when we get to our guest, he's not only going to talk about the Robert Mueller travesty of an investigation that should have been shut down months ago, although we're learning so much when it's not. But he's also going to talk about cybersecurity and just how, and these are huge, huge issues, and the antitrust kind of offenses that Google and Facebook and Twitter are engaged in. I don't know if you can get them on antitrust laws. Once again, I'm not an attorney, but we do have to do something because they are attempting to shut down conservative voices. And hopefully conservative voices are getting heard by saying they got shut down. And there are examples of this, like Brandon Straka from Walk Away, who is getting shut down, like James Woods, who's getting shut down. But in our last couple of minutes, I do want to talk about Brett Kavanaugh. What a sad, sad story. On this day, Tuesday, September 25th, we are hearing, and this may change, we are hearing that Ms. Ford, I'm just not going to go through her whole name. Yeah, Christine Blasey Ford. Okay, I did it. is getting cold feet about testifying this coming Thursday for the committee, the senatorial committee that is investigating this. I have been appalled, and I've been talking about it all week on talk radio. I've been appalled that Republicans have appeased and permitted this kind of usurpation, if you will, of our system. There is flaw after flaw after flaw in the way this was handled. And as far as I'm concerned, Dianne Feinstein should be censured by the Senate for holding back information so that she could spring it on the entire country after the hearings were over. That alone ought to throw out the allegations. If the allegations were super serious and credible, then if I were in Chuck Grassley's position, would be more willing to bend the rules. But for them to bend the rules for this highly questionable, bizarre account of Christine Blasey Ford. And by the way, I cannot wait to watch those hearings if she shows up. And I'm wondering whether she'll show up at all. If she doesn't show up, there ought to be a vote immediately. Will these feckless, backboneless Republicans do so? No, they won't. Because there have been other unsubstantiated accusations which have been designed part and parcel to delay this process. The strategy that they hope is that they can delay the process long enough to the midterms, and then they hope there will be this giant blue wave, because after all, they've acted so responsibly that we all want to put them back in power. And if they win back the House and the Senate, they will do away with the Kavanaugh nomination. And they'll do so by claiming moral superiority because of Merrick Garland, the nominee of Obama's, who the Republican Congress did away with, except that the Republican Congress had the power. And that's what they're hoping. God willing, I hope it is extremely a pipe dream on their part. But there have been so many outrages here, so many things that we ought to look at. Take a look at my blog at KarenCataline.com and look at the blog I've written about it. But most recently, it is fascinating to me that the Senate Democrats who are trying to put a kibosh on this nomination have succeeded in claiming, in delaying the entire process while still rushing to judgment. Think about that paradox for a minute. So they rush to judgment and then they delay the entire process, which many people would say would actually shed light on things. I think it'll shed a little bit of light, but I don't think that it can completely exonerate Brett Kavanaugh, which is why those accusations were made when they were. You cannot exonerate a man from when he was 17 years old in high school. And yet, there are people that were named in Ms. Blasey Ford's story. I hate saying that. In her story that that do not corroborate her story. In some cases, they don't even remember such a party, and they don't even remember any incident. And she never spoke of that incident until 2012, when Kavanaugh was again under consideration for the Supreme Court, and his name wasn't mentioned, as far as I remember. So among the most telling pieces of evidence that the Democrats, of course, will never consider is that Christine Blasey Ford, through her attorney, has shown herself to be a discredited, uncredible witness. What witness in the world who makes a complaint of a serious crime, attempted rape, possibly attempted murder, which is preposterous, honestly. But I'm willing to listen to the so-called evidence. If there is any, I'm willing to listen to it. A woman makes a serious accusation, but then starts dictating the terms to the Senate committee through her attorney. Among the most mind-boggling, and for me, the core of this issue, is that Christine Blasey Ford, through her attorney, had asked the entire Senate to dispense with due process, to just throw it right out the window. Even more outrageous is that lawmakers, people who make laws on the rest of us, were supporting her and her attorney in doing so. So basically, they're ready to throw out one of the most cherished of our freedoms, the right to be considered innocent until proven guilty. I mean, it's as basic as anything that is American. And you will read, if you take the time in my blog, that Alan Dershowitz could be the last honest Democrat on the face of the earth because he was outraged by this, as well he should be, as well as everybody should be. And doesn't it go to the credibility of this woman and her attorney, who is clearly a anti-Trumper, hard left activist? She has been seen at, the quotes of her are disgusting. She doesn't think that people who disagree with her ought to have a voice at all. And by virtue of the fact that she wants to shut down Kavanaugh, think about if you were accused of a crime, but you did not get the right to face your accuser before you were put on under oath. You did not get the right to find out what the charges are. I think that is what we do with Miranda rights every time somebody is arrested. It used to be, not that long ago, when Democrats fancied themselves the champions of due process, of freedom, they were the champions of criminals, for heaven's sake, saying it was unfair, it was unreasonable to expect a criminal to do this, to do that. And here, when it suits them, when it's politically expedient, it's perfectly fine for them to ask for an unfair hearing in which Kavanaugh must defend himself from charges he knows not what. As far as I'm concerned, that removes all credibility from this woman. Let her come forth under oath and give her story so people all America can see it. By the way, I'm appalled that the Democrats are putting this country through this on such thin evidence. And I don't have the time to talk about the second one. She's out of Colorado. Just as thin, if not thinner, evidence. It's despicable what this left is trying to do to Brett Kavanaugh. I don't know what he did or if he didn't do it. But you know what? If he was 17 years old, and how come the women are not responsible for being drunk, but the man is, right? And this should destroy his entire stellar career. I don't believe he did it. But if he did do it, he was 17. And I don't think that it should destroy his career. And furthermore, it kills me that the Republicans have no backbone, no spine. Get a spine, ladies and gentlemen, and shut this thing down, or at least make laws, make rules, and stick to them. Be consistent. Like unruly adolescents, you have to set boundaries and limits with them, or they will roll right over you. Right now, the unruly adolescent left has been rolling over the process. They've completely rolled over due process. So I'm going to have to leave it there. When we come back, I have the pleasure of talking with Michael Dougherty about the other huge story. There are more that has been going on, and that is Rod Rosenstein, the Mueller investigation, and this constant vendetta currently against Donald Trump. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1. Please stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jordan, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arne, on the legislative vesting clause of the Constitution.
Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution states, "All legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress of the United States." To the founders, legislative power was the power to make laws that apply to all alike, that are clear and easy to understand. The Constitution says all legislative powers, and that means Congress cannot rightfully delegate these powers to some other body. Today, our laws are thousands of pages long. Sometimes rules are tens of thousands, and no one can read them. Congress has abdicated its legislative power to unelected bureaucrats in countless executive agencies. This is a violation of Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
All Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
I am delighted to have with us, first time to Spouting Off, an FBI deep state analyst, and you've heard him all over AM Talk Radio. He's the author of a wonderful book called The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. Oh, my. We don't have enough time to talk about all that, but welcome to Spouting Off, Michael Dougherty.
Kind of the perfect show name, actually. I like that. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And you're here to spout off. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is the latest news dealing with, because we can't recount. This is one of the hardest things about talk radio and the Mueller investigation, is boiling it down for people who haven't been following it is a toughie. But we're going to just jump right in and ask. So the latest bit of news was when the New York Times decided that Rod Rosenstein, they put out a story that he wanted to wear a wire in order to affect the 25th Amendment, that is, to get rid of Donald Trump based on his incompetence. Yeah, he's so incompetent. And then the Washington Post is now arguing with them. So take it from there and tell us what's going on.
Well, there's two things I'll say. First of all, remember, The Godfather is the all-time training manual movie for this type of conflict. and you always want to keep your enemies closer, right?
Yeah. So, I'm a great fan of The Godfather, so I'm with you.
Right. And so this is one of those keep your enemies closer situation. You always, when you're an executive in these type of explosions, because we have this sort of inside coup mutiny that's going on, and the
Absolutely.
American public is seeing this whole portrait being exposed of these moving parts that is the deep state, and the deep state is really the administrative state. It is all the agencies below the surface of the branches of government that we're taught about in school. And we're not taught about these. And this started with Woodrow Wilson in 1914, and it has had a century to grow. And there are just way more bureaucrats than there are Democrats or Republicans. And Congress loves this stuff because these guys get to be the bad guys, and Congress gets to do nothing and get paid and go raise money for reelection. So we've had inertia and this mess really coming to a boiling point now. And then here comes Donald Trump that's going to blow it out. Now, this threatens these people. When you have no accountability and you do corrupt, evil things and you portray yourself as a wonderful, you know, purveyor of justice, you're going to fight to the death, because if you're exposed, you're going to go down. So now we're at this, I think we're out of our freshman year here, and we're watching these people start to turn on each other.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's terrifying if you stay home and not vote, because I would argue that this election is more important than 16 to continue what goes on, because if the House turns blue, then all those chairmanships change to Democrat, and then all these investigations exposing all this stop. One of the things that we're never taught, that we don't know, is that all these investigations have to be re-upped and started with every Congress. So the strategy of the crooked underground is to delay through ignoring, through lying, through intimidation, whatever it takes, delay any type of investigation or answering to the investigation till after the Congress changes, because then it all disappears and you have to start over.
But haven't Republicans also been mucking up this process and slowing it down?
Some.
Yeah.
You have Devin Nunes that's not.
Exactly.
You had Daryl Issa did not. And then he was not given an optional extension. Thank you, John Boehner. When you enter Congress and there is a go along to get along, quiet understanding of being part of the team, and that's regardless of party. And that when it comes to criminal conduct or ethics charges, there's an understanding that you let us slide, we let you slide. And when someone plays along that way, right? And most of them do, then when someone comes along that doesn't, the guns come out and they point towards those people. Now, that's why they've got to exploit Kavanaugh so far. They pushed, and McConnell and Grassley played along politically, and with optics, until they've gotten so ridiculous, finally, those guys snapped.
They should never have done it. They enabled the most horrible, despicable behavior. They should never have done it.
Never. But, and because once you give these people, once you give them anything that works, they'll keep going. But it was,
they'll double down, triple down, quadruple down.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no bottom. There's no shame.
No, I've said that very thing, Michael. Michael, from a view of like 50,000 feet, I guess you could say, and if you could give us any insider tips, then maybe you mentioned how the let's see how I want to put this. You mentioned how the deep state, for the lack of a better term, I think it's a pretty good term, finds Donald Trump so very, very threatening. And I don't blame him. He's darn threatening. But to me, this is the tip of the iceberg. The stuff that we're watching right now is merely what was being used to protect what they don't want us to see. Would you agree? And if so, what else do you think they don't want us to see?
Well, I totally agree, because people forget, Rosenstein's considered a Republican. So we have to understand, and this is step one. We're not taught this in civics. Okay, what we're taught in civics, if we're taught civics anymore, is 19th century American government. We're not, so that keeps us gullible and confused, which makes us docile. And so they're terrified we're going to figure it out, because we just got an inkling something was wrong and we have Donald Trump. So
what do you think is wrong? What do you think is really going on?
What is wrong is that the entire culture of Washington is not based on a separation of powers. It is very much a go along and get along to survive. And what a great gig. There's no accountability. There's really good pay. It's the wealthiest counties in the United States. And who wouldn't like to go to work every day and be able to print money and not ever be fired? And then when you play inside and you make your alliances, when someone slips on the banana peel, you look the other way and you don't get them in trouble, because the public has a short attention span, and one day that might be you. So you're expecting quid pro quo. So Hillary comes in, and all these people start knowing she's going to win. They line up to kiss the ring of the future queen. And they start doing things that are really unethical and really corrupt and really criminal. But they're held, they're given their pass, and Eric and Loretta Lynch hands out, Comey hands out immunity to all these witnesses, which
Amazing.
Is incredible.
Yeah.
And so in the game, and then suddenly, game board flips, Hillary loses. Holy cow! If they find this stuff out, so now your entire, not only your job, but some people and other parts of governments of the world for this level of treason would be executed. So you have nothing to lose by continuing the cover-up. And really, this is where you come in the negotiating strategy of first one speaks loses. So Trump draws it out, and just starts, you know, watching them hang themselves. And you look at who sides on. You look at MSNBC, ABC, George Stephanopoulos, who's unbelievably disgusting. you've got MSNBC and CNN, and they're all, you know, it's not so much what they're reporting, it's what they're not reporting. It's a red herring toss. Like, don't look over there. And, you know, we're all taught that as kids in The Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain. See, at that stage of The Wizard of Oz where Dorothy's going, wait a minute, that's not a wizard.
Yeah, can we escalate that process? Because we're trying with all our might to get people to start looking behind the curtain, you know?
Right, and so it is really, it's a big, vicious problem. And you can't put the genie back. But at the same time, this genie's been growing for a century, not a term. It wasn't started by Obama. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's bureaucrat. Although Democrats support the deep state way more than Republicans, but there's a lot of establishment Republicans that do.
Because
look at the behavior of the top of the intelligence committee, community. You know, it's a big problem. It will take more than a week.
Yeah, Michael. Since I've got the blessings of being able to ask you these questions, what do you suppose the purpose, or was it just to line pockets of the 20% of uranium deal that had the tacit acceptance of the Obamas, and yet it lined the pockets of the Clintons, and everybody's protecting this? What do you suppose the motive was there? Is it simply money, or is it more?
Oh, it's power, access, wealth. I mean, people thought the Clintons were going to be the new powerhouse again. They were going to be back in power. So, you know, it ebbs and flows. So it swung from the Clintons.
But I mean, why are uranium? Why are uranium?
Oh,
I mean, of all things. The quintessential collusion
because,
with Russia,
because it,
by
because
the way.
It, because money trumps loyalty, trumps everything to those people, and
to
it's access
phrase.
And power.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
it's disgusting.
So it's a big picture process where that's just a piece, and there's so much value there, but they always think they'll be at the top. They never think they're going to lose. They always think they're going to be top of control, right? So they think,
they cheat, don't they?
It's arrogance, it's chutzpah, it's corruption, and so it is. It's unbelievable.
We need to talk. Do some short things here because there's so many great things. Forgive me. We got to talk immigration and globalism for a second, if you don't mind, because the corruption of the Republicans, you know, the line always is they want cheap labor and Democrats want cheap votes. But it's got to be deeper than that. It's got to be because Republicans, and I think I understand, but I'm going to give, I really want your take on it. Republicans are willing to give the permanent majority to Democrats in order for cheap labor. Something else is going on. There's more collusion between those parties than people think. Is that right?
You know, I don't know if it's about collusion. I've been on the Hill so much, they hate each other's guts. It's really strange on the committees. They lose their minds in hate at times. But so I don't know if it's that. But, you know, I could be even naive still. I still am naive and optimistic in some ways. I think it is a political fear. I think Republican leadership knows they don't have the media. They don't know how to turn anything around the way the Democrats get what they want. You know, the way the Democrats get what they want is intimidate the living bejeez out of the Republicans, and the media comes in and plays horse. So you see you know, grandma going off the cliff. You see the babies not being allowed to be separated from their families. And Republicans don't know how to... They're so far behind in building any type of cultural storytelling that they know they're going to get their head ripped off, which is what's going on right now with Kavanaugh. It's the same thing, just on super, super high steroids. It's amazing.
I think, though, there is a lot more doing business with each other than we all might think. Look at the business that the Bushes and the Clintons are doing together. The Bushes were willing to vote. What?
No, I said that's a whole different story.
Because that's
establishment.
They're in cahoots. They are in cahoots. But back to my other question about why is it that Republicans, no matter how corrupt they are, if money and power is what they're up, what they're after, and it is, there's no question about that, then why would they be willing to give up permanent power? Everybody knows Democrats want to import easy votes from illegal aliens, that's what it's about. And why would Republicans want the same thing when they know Democrats will use it to develop a permanent majority? Never another Republican.
Because it's not Republican and Democrat. That's just a divide and conquer strategy. It really is bureaucrat and establishment.
Yeah,
and I agree. That will keep the establishment in, you know, that will keep the establishment in their docile way. You know, that's really what it's about.
That dichotomy is something for the masses, but not necessarily for what's going on inside.
Well, they don't want
the
masses to know how close they are.
I rest my case.
You know, I mean, it's really, and this is the playbook that needs to be exposed, and this is what they're fighting to keep, to keep silent, to keep the lid. That's, you know, I don't know that Hillary said this, but I heard that she said this, if this ever gets out, they'll come at us with, you know, they'll tie us up and they'll come at us with pitchforks. I mean,
yeah, I've heard
you
that.
Know, this is the fury of why she lost. She knew what would be coming, because which I have to say is concerning how corrupt they are. It looks like the Electoral College wasn't corrupted, or this would have never happened.
Yeah, and there are actually some states that have honest elections, which was one of the things that concerned me greatly. I mean, from this bunch, do you think they wouldn't cheat? Do you think they wouldn't stuff ballot boxes as, you know, the electronic version of that? Of course they would.
I don't think each side has different weaknesses. Okay, the Republicans, the reason Republicans lose is because they're not willing to get in the down and dirty as much as the Democrats are. They have a different, their down and dirty is not quite the same. They don't.
No, they like
that
to go after each other. Republicans,
well, I mean, I don't
are
think
much
that's
better at going
bad.
After each other.
I don't think it's bad if all sides weren't in some act and you could have debate and that would be healthy. The problem is that the Democrats are really autocratic, ironically, really dictatorial, really power-based, and really unforgiving. So, and the poster child for that is Nancy Pelosi. So if you're a Democratic congressman or congresswoman, you might totally disagree, and you are no idiot. You either shut up or you're gone, and a lot of people don't run again. There's a whole subculture of congresspeople that come in and win, and after two terms, that you either become the animal or you leave, and they leave.
Yeah, that is so true. We have one in Colorado. His name is Tom Tancredo, who made a term limit promise. He went back on it, but then he did leave. And the guy that replaced him is atrocious, Mike Kaufman. And Pelosi's after him because he could be the deciding vote in the House. We don't know. I've got to ask you about James O'Keefe and Project Veritas. I think that story has been totally covered up by all the Kavanaugh stuff, which, of course, is extremely important. But I think it's a bombshell what O'Keefe came up with. What do you think?
Well, I know him actually pretty darn well, and
he's actually wonderful.
Book signed together, and he's a good friend, and he's a good guy, and you know, I'm about 25 years older than James, and I always get worried about how intense he is, and he's such a warrior, and I think the world of him.
I wish I knew how he does what he does. I don't want to know because I don't want it to be exposed, but how he does what he does is extraordinary. But talk about what he did do this last time with exposing socialists in our government.
Well, he went into the agency and he went in and he got someone to just yak away about, this is what they talk about in Washington. So he dupes you into trusting them, and then people say things and they're complete idiots. And was it the NSA? I'm drawing a blank now. Which agency was it? But
I think it was the State Department.
State Department.
Yeah.
And this guy just jaws off on how they're resisting and how they do all these things, and he's just filming them. I mean, this is what makes him crazy. Is he? You know, James can't get too famous because then people would know. But I've been with him and just. I've never been with him on any of these things, don't get me wrong. But it's amazing how he just melds in because he just looks like...
Well, he has other people that do it for him, but the question is how he's able to...
but he does a lot himself as well.
He is
absolutely focused on exposing the utter hypocrisy. And here's the reason why James serves such a great purpose. This is less likely now. But if you remember if you said things we're talking about right now, pretending it was 2005 or, you know, when Obama first won, we would be considered number one conspiracy theorist wackos.
Right.
He shuts that down. Now, here's the thing. Does it convince a lot of people? No, what's startling is the people that are exposed then use all their power not to reform themselves, but to actually, you know, shut it down through silencing. So when you say James isn't reported, I don't know that he would be reported as much, you know, even if we didn't have all this stuff, because the whole establishment of the media doesn't like it. And Bill O'Reilly got really mad at James several years ago, you know, and he just was like banned from the show. He's, you know, because James in his younger days was really a bit like a popcorn seed and hot oil, but he is matured and he is real. I mean, I just think the world of this guy.
I think he should wear that as a badge of courage if Bill O'Reilly didn't like
that's
him.
Right. That's right.
I wish we had more time to talk about. I just love him, and I think that what he did, what he continues to do, is a phenomenal service. Let's talk about your book. Let's talk about your book and how people can find it and what it's about.
The Devil
in the last couple minutes.
I found it. I was a healthcare entrepreneur. I founded a medical laboratory. Someone came in and stole 9,000 of our patients, then tried to force us to hire us to help them fix the problem. And it turned out they were the problem. They'd stolen it, and they turned it over to the government, and the government started attacking us, not them. And so I wrote the book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, like a novel to show how, an inside story about how the agencies work. It's incompetence plus no accountability equals corruption, because when you catch them like I did, they don't say, oops, we're sorry. They have qualified and sovereign immunity. They cover up, they retaliate, and they smother. And that's also what the media does. So it's written like a novel, so that you're not sitting there listening to me rant. You see all the memos from the government they put into me and all this stuff. You just observe and go into the hole and you watch how it moves, and it's rivetingly terrifying. And it's at Amazon, an audiobook, hardcover, softcover, and ebook, The Devil Inside the Beltway.
Well, there are a lot of devils inside the Beltway. That seems to be only one of them, right? Right.
Right. And I call it the mindset, though. I say the devil is the mindset of the Beltway.
Ah, exactly. And do you also have like a website where people can follow you, Facebook, yeah, well, Twitter, that sort of thing?
I could do my name, but then it's too much you have to write if you're driving. So it's just thedevilinsidethebeltway.com. We'll forward to it.
We'll get
MichaelJDoherty.com, but you have to worry about how to spell Doherty and all that. So
I know. Dough like dough that you need.
Right.
And you need Michael J. Doherty.
Right.
Thank you, Michael.
There's a Michael Doherty, and that's a music thing. If you go to MichaelDoherty.com, you spell it right, you'll be at a music website. So we just go for the devil inside the beltway.
So go for the devil inside the beltway. It's as timely a topic as I can ever imagine. Surveillance, cybersecurity, conservatives are getting shadow banned. So there's a lot to consider. It's important to take breaks. Thank you, Michael Doherty, for being with us. I hope you'll come back again. You are a wonderful guest.
Oh, thank you. I had a good time. Good talking to you.
Great. My pleasure. This is Karen Cataline. That's about all we have time for on this edition of Spouting Off. Go to my website if you'd like to connect with me, www.karencataline.com. That's Karen spelled the normal way and Cataline spelled, well, you know, because you found me. Cataline, K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. You can reach me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thank you to HW, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.